The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yo, welcome back to the Keeper and Curry Show here. He's on the left, I'm on the right on our YouTube channel. Of course, wherever you listen to the TKR app, you can listen to the show at least 5 days a week. Listen to it as many times as you want. We do have people that sometimes listen to it and they're like, did Kip just say what I thought he said? And they go back and listen again. Usually you're right. Of course, you can hear him do a show called Need to Know, which is another one of the shows that there's no head scratching. It's more like just sticking fingers in your eyeballs, talking about how patriotic you are. I love that. There is nothing more patriotic in this country. Well, there are. The Major League Baseball. And while we record this show here on the 16th of June, or the 17th, I don't even know what day is it? The 17th of June, and my days are all messed up. Mm-hmm. We've got Major League Baseball coming to town here this week for the Rickwood Classic to remember the Negro Leagues. And it's just, I mean, it's a perfect fit because it is the Field of Dreams game, which, when did they start that? About 10, 15 years ago or something like that? It's been a while, right?
Not that long ago. I'd say 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, I say five or 6 years because now at this age, whenever I say 5 or 6, I just double it. And I'm usually spot on. So
probably
5 to 10 years ago. And it's really good. And, you know, they did it at the original ballpark, which I think still exists. They did it at another ballpark, which wasn't the original ballpark, but it was, and then I think they built another ballpark in Iowa that was supposed to look like that or something like that. I don't know. And so, lo and behold, they find the oldest ballpark in the world, that being Rickwood. And that's hard to believe. And it really is something that I, as a baseball fan, I embrace. And I wasn't friends of Rickwood. I know our good friend Ben Cook was a big
part
of that and got behind that. And I know there's a small group of individuals. And I think it's like $120,000, $140,000 annually where they have to swap paint on that thing to make sure it stays up. I know there's high school games played there. I don't know if any colleges play there. I know the Burman Barons do. The Barons used to play there. Then of course, they do their Barons Classic out there. They do one game, and they'll be doing that, I guess, on Tuesday or Wednesday this week. And then, of course, the Major League Classic. And they've had to come in, and I don't know, what is it, like $16 million, something like they spent on Rickwood?
Make sure.
Because it not only had to look the part, but it had to be safe. I mean, from a liability standpoint, that ballpark I'm not going to say it was in shambles. You could certainly play ball there. But there's new rules and regulations about the base sizes, about the size of the nets that need to go down the first and third base sides. You're obviously talking about an extremely small ballpark, so the ball is going to jump off the bat. It's going to come in the crowd really fast.
You're right on top of the action there. Yeah. I mean, you're right there.
No, you're eating baseballs, man. You did a show about this, and we may have done it together, but I believe I want to say you did it independently of the Kiefer and Curry show, and you were talking about special was, and so I'm hearing all about this information, and I'm driving through downtown, and I'm seeing Birmingham welcomes Major League Baseball, you know, on the side of the BJCC, the side of the Civic Center, which I think is fantastic. And I'm thinking to myself, coming from a guy that lived in Cincinnati, Ohio, who had a professional football and a professional baseball team. We had a professional hockey team for a while, home of Oscar Robinson. And then I moved to Louisville, and it was all college sports. And I missed the pro game. I miss a lot. The woman I married was from St. Louis, so I went and saw a lot of Rams games. Of course, they lost the Rams, but they got the Blues up there, and they've got some other things in St. Louis. So I've seen a lot of professional games. And I was asking my son the other day, if Birmingham... First of all, would you want Birmingham to go after a professional team? That's question number one for Kip Kiefer. Number two, if we went after a professional team, and we do have a contingent of business people here in this town that are movers and shakers. Okay, don't think it can't happen. There is a reason why this money was spent into the reformation or the remodelization of the BJCC. There's money being poured into this new amphitheater that's going to be opened up next year. There's being money that was poured into the building of the brand new ballpark, which, by the way, is 10 to 12 years old. All of a sudden, all this influx of money, the uptown area, they've done a fantastic job. I never thought we'd see a downtown area like Birmingham. If you haven't been down there in 10, 12 years, drive around down there. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
We used to pitch a fit about Bama playing, you know, in off of the Graymont. And, oh, my gosh, there's going to be a shooting. There's one damn shooting. I went to the mall a couple nights ago and I could have walked naked to the joint, and no one would have said a word to me. The mall is safe. It's fine. Hoover's safe. It's good. There was a shooting there 4 years ago. People still bring that up. Get over it. It's okay. But I do wonder, first of all, could we bring a franchise in? I think if we put everything in to getting a franchise, that is assuming that the NBA, Major League Baseball, or the NFL or NHL decided, hey, listen, we want to expand. That certainly has to be part of that. And second of all, what would be the best franchise or what would be the best sport for Birmingham to be involved in?
Gosh, that's an interesting question, because ever since I've been involved in Birmingham, and this is my second stint, I left for a couple of years. I came in the early 90s. I was kind of appalled to get here and kind of see that there was such indifference about professional sports. Mm-hmm. I did a show recently on WJOX on a Saturday morning, and I was talking about this very subject. Of, you know, this is the time of year we've got the NBA playoffs going on. We have the NHL playoffs. We have baseball. And I posed the question on that show. And I, you know, it's a Saturday morning early show. It's going to be really hopping at football season. Right this time of year, I'm the first to admit it's a lot of Kip Kiefer pontification, not sure. So much caller interaction at this stage. And I challenge anybody to call me and say, is there anybody in Birmingham that's interested in Major League Baseball? Is there anybody who wants to weigh in on the NBA playoffs or the NHL? Didn't get a single phone call. And again, that's not really a true measure, but I still think it kind of it supports my position that at the end of the day, you really don't have a lot of interest here. And I completely rejected this statement when I first came in the early 90s. I would say, well, you know, Birmingham's there's surrounding markets here that are not that much more prominent than Birmingham in the Southeast that have major league sports. Why are we not in the game? And people say, well, you know, we got Alabama and Auburn. They're so dominant here, Tony. It's amazing that I don't think that there's really anybody pushing for major league sports. And it's kind of unfortunate because, I mean, you look at Jacksonville, they get an NFL team. It's not a much better market than this one. We talked about Rickwood Field. I was struck the first time I went to Rickwood Field, they had it set up like it was in the late 1940s. And the out-of-town scoreboard was still there, and it was it had teams in the Southern League that were playing that night. Yeah. or the night where it was recreated, and it was Atlanta and New Orleans and Charlotte and Nashville. All these cities were in, so they were the, you know, counterparts of Birmingham at that time. All of them have gone on to have major league sports. Atlanta, of course, a ton of major league sports. Nashville, New Orleans, all those. Charlotte, but Birmingham has never stepped forward, and it's kind of amazing to me that there really isn't much interest. And I'll finish this little diatribe by saying, yesterday the Birmingham Stallions of the United Football League won their third consecutive championship. They shut out San Antonio yesterday, 25-0, to win the UFL. This is the first year that the XFL and the USFL have teamed up in one league. The Stallions have been like the Green Bay Packers of the 60s, and I don't see very much interest in this market about it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's amazing. It doesn't matter what league is. The Birmingham Stallions are going to win it. They won, of course, the first.
It's unbelievable. They're so dominant. It's unbelievable.
I'm really surprised by, you know, I imagine the look and disbelief on my face when first of all, I heard that AJ McCarron was in the league, that Wade Phillips was the San Antonio coach. I thought Wade Phillips passed away 10 years ago. I didn't even know. I didn't know Wade Phillips was still alive. And I was like, wow, is that Wade Phillips? Kudos to Skip Holtz and what he's done with his football team. I'm surprised that he's still in that particular league. It is catching on. I think the fact The Rock is a big part of that, and it looks like they've got some financial backing behind that to keep it around. Will it expand beyond the eight teams or whatever it is now? I don't know. Now, you know, you brought up Auburn, Alabama. There's been this thought process forever, since I got here in 1988 anyway, that because college football was so big here, there wasn't room for a professional sport.
Which is crazy.
And I'm asking, is it? Because, when you get tickets for $25 or $35 a game, I thought it was crazy. Now, I don't know if there's financially, I don't even know if we could secure enough disposable income in order for people to be able to go to Alabama and Auburn football games and see pro games as well. Would you have to be one fan or the other? You brought this up the other day during this next playoff series coming up here in 2024. There's a chance where you're going to be traveling something like 19,000 miles in four different cities over the course of four different weeks if your team makes it to the national championship game. If I'm an yes. Oregon Duck fan or an Alabama fan, I don't have the money to fly to Pasadena, to go to Bryant Denny, to go to New Orleans, and then fly back up to Washington, D.C. or New York. I don't have it. And then people are like, well, you need to pick your game. Well, you know, I'm going to want to see the national championship game, right? I mean, you used to be able to go see the bowl game. The bowl game was the thing that decided everything, period. Then all of a sudden you went and saw the bowl game or the playing game. And then, if you won that game, you were kind of like, it was like, oh my gosh, Junior won the first game today. We have to stay and watch the next one. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember, you're praying your kids' teams do well, but you're thinking, you know, if they lose, I get to go home and sit on my couch at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes.
Damn it, they went out. They're winning their play.
Another hotel night.
They won another one in Sarasota. Here we come. So
I live that exact scenario.
Yeah. So I'm wondering to myself, is it true that we have the money? And I only bring that up because we're trying to attract some major sports here. We had some regionals this past time for the NCAA basketball tournament. I think it did pretty well. Drake recently announced that he was coming to town. They just canceled that show. Elton John was supposed to come a couple of years ago. He canceled. Rod Stewart was supposed to come about 4 years ago. He canceled. The reason they canceled because they had no forward selling tickets.
Yep.
They had no tickets. They couldn't sell it. They could not sell Rod Stewart. They couldn't sell Elton John. We were the only city out of 237 cities that Bruce Springsteen didn't sell out the last time he went on a world tour.
Wow.
Okay. So that word gets out. We're a huge walk-up town. We're a town where, you know, what are you doing tonight? I don't know. You want to go to the Bruce Springsteen concert? Sure. If you want to go to shows, you know, I'm not saying that Taylor Swift wouldn't sell out here, but there's a reason why she ain't coming, because she doesn't want that black mark. Rod Stewart's like, I got a throat issue if I'm not selling out the BJCC, because it makes it look bad.
It's amazing how that develops.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I wonder what the interest level will be. But yet, when you look at the UFL, a lot of people say that we attract loser leagues. We support everything that happens around me here. It's that we don't want to be married to this thing because she's always looking for something bigger and better. She's going to leave us. By the time we have a lot of people come in and watch a particular sport and get behind it and really love it, then it gets pulled out from under our feet. And we're kind of like, okay, here we go again. And hopefully it doesn't happen with the UFL. I will tell you this. Being a Birmingham Barons fan, the Birmingham Barons, the year they opened Protective Stadium a couple years ago, they averaged just slightly more than 400 more people per home game than they did at Legion Field. I want you to think about that for a minute.
Well, that's astounding.
I'm not going to Legion Field. It's dangerous. It's dirty. It's nasty. There's no parking. The concessions are terrible. There's no hot water. I can't even find a hot dog. There's no mustard. Why would I look at it as like a museum? I've been down there a million times. I was down there when Alabama used to play three home games down there. I was down there for the Iron Bowl. It was fantastic. I'm not saying I love it. Would I like to be in a better, cleaner neighborhood like Protective Stadium is? Absolutely. And I've been to Protective about a dozen times, and I love it. I think it's a fantastic stadium. But why in the world, all these people are like, if you build it, they will come. If we build a stadium downtown for the Birmingham Blazers, for the Blazers, and I call them Birmingham Blazers, the UAB Blazers, they'll have 35, 40,000 people down there every home game. It ain't happening. And I don't know who to point the finger at. I do think it takes time to grow things like this. It's something really, really proud of, because we have had Garth Brooks show up down there. We had the World Games where it was a sellout. We've had some really neat things going down there. But I always wonder, you know, if in fact we were going after a major league team, I would love it. I'd be the first one to go find a second job just to be able to get the money for a PSL so I can be part of a major league team. And the thing that keeps coming up to me is the NBA. I don't know if the NBA is looking. I don't know if that's something they want to do, just because you don't need as big of an arena. You don't need as much parking. It is a shorter game. And I would just think that, and I've seen exhibition games here. When we have exhibition games here, they sell out. They do really, really well.
Yeah. You know, I of the major sports, and well, let's first talk about this UFL thing. I went to one game this year. It was on a Saturday night. The tickets were cheap as hell. Mm-hmm. Compared, you know, I'm used to paying in modern day times, going to Stanley Cup playoff games and NFL games. Tony, I mean, the price of tickets is now, conservatively, you got to pay $500 or $600 to get a decent ticket to any game, you know, in the big leagues. The UFL was a bargain. Mm-hmm. It was cheap. It's still a new stadium that's easily accessible. But it was shocking to me that they had like a whole, I'd say a third of the stadium blocked off with no seating at all. And I can only assume that was for TV purposes. Yes. To show full stands on mm-hmm. the sides that were occupied.
You are correct.
So Protective Stadium only seats about 40,000. So they really only made about 25,000 seats accessible for that game and didn't even sell that out. It's a cheap price. It's a team that never loses and is dominant, and nobody really is very interested in it. And it's really a staggering thing when you see the absolute go down to Tuscaloosa or Auburn on a game day and look at the reception there. It's you know, I told you I kind of rejected the myth originally that you know, these teams just completely command the entire market and the complete attention span of Alabama sports fans. But you know, the more I've been around it and the more I've experienced it, I think that's right. And I think it's a phenomenon I've never seen anywhere, and I've lived all over the country. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, you got more than 40,000 people outside Bryant Denny. During game than you do with 40,000 inside the game.
And people stay out at the tailgates and watch the game on TV because they don't have a ticket. They exactly. just get in there to hang out.
No, and I've been down there, and I'm you're right. I drove all the way to Clemson a couple weeks ago and saw two baseball games for $38. I think that's maybe why some people are more willing to go now to. And I went to the ball game at Regions Field, not the one downtown, but the one out in Hoover, the Hoover Met.
Yeah.
And again, saw four baseball games for like $12 a piece, which was fantastic. The SEC baseball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only a matter of time before they start popping those ticket prices because they are selling out. They did the best. And they didn't have Auburn, Alabama at this year, or Alabama was in one game and still end up selling out. And I don't know, had like 400,000 people there. So, listen, I know there's a supply and demand situation here, and I always just wonder, you know, because there are a lot of movers and shakers in this town that would like to see us have a professional sports team. But again, and then there's the people too, Kip, that don't want a professional sports team.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they don't think that Birmingham is forward thinking enough or liberal enough want to deal with. I mean, could you imagine if we finally got a major league team and then we had an owner came in here and said, listen, I need a $500 million stadium or I'm moving. I mean, could you imagine that happening in Birmingham?
That's the way it works.
Because we probably say, see ya, bye. So see how it worked out for St. Louis. But you know, it's funny because like you said, when I got here in 1988, this was before the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. Atlanta and Birmingham weren't quite neck and neck. Atlanta had a head up, but we were close. We were 52nd, 53rd in the market. I think Atlanta somewhere was in the 30s, something like that. It was relatively close.
At that
close.
Time, yes.
And of course, Atlanta gets the Olympics and they just shot up and went to be a top 10 city. But yeah, I guess it's another question is, do you want a major league team here? Would you want a major league team here? And in order to have a major league team here, because I see Stallions fans, I see these knuckleheads down there without their shirts on that got the giddy up, and I love it. I mean, it's great. They are taking something and they are followers. They are looking for something to latch onto that they can call their own. And they like the fact that it's not sold out. They don't want people to know this great secret that is the Birmingham Stallions that has lost one game in the last 3 years.
Wow.
And so, you know, you just wonder if that's something that, you know, would people want that as well? I'm tired of traveling to major markets to go see Major League Baseball games.
Yeah.
And I don't mind going to Atlanta. We just shot down the lottery again. So if you want to go get, I just had a friend of mine her air conditioning went out and she drove all the way to Tennessee to get lottery tickets last night just so she could be in the AC for 4 hours.
I mean, why are we so prehistoric? It just baffles me. I'll even cut it to another angle, Tony. I was a loud critic on all of my programs when Protective Stadium was being built, and take nothing away from the fact that it's a nice facility. But, you know, if you're going to make that investment, you've got to make the investment to the absolute max. That should be a bigger domed facility. You're the hometown, right, a block away from that stadium is the SEC corporate headquarters. If you put in a facility that could facilitate an NCAA tournament round, maybe a Sweet 16 instead of a opening round of eight. You could facilitate major concerts. You could house a major league or an NFL team. I think they really kind of, you know, if you look at SoFi Stadium that was built, and not to compare LA and Birmingham, that's not fair, but SoFi Stadium was $5 billion. Yep. The Protective Stadium was $80 million. That's like building a shack instead of a mansion. I mean, it just kind of puts it in a correlation of, you know, we're just kind of half-ass here, and I really don't understand why.
No, the old moniker, build it and they will come. We're kind of like, start showing some interest in building it, and if someone says they like it, then we'll lay another brick.
Exactly.
We're just kind of laying bricks, and we're kind of looking around and making sure that people are still coming in the door, and as it goes, we add more money. And I we haven't had the most trustworthy council people, mayors, not to say anything about Mayor Ruffin, I think he's doing a great job. We haven't had the most trustworthy people on city council and people of the government that actually runs not only Birmingham, but other municipalities and pretty much the whole state. Whenever something, and I remember when I first got here, there was this huge mill for the Birmingham Zoo. It was like $13 million, and people still don't know where the hell that went. It was $13 million. It was supposed to go to the zoo to make it this world-class zoo, and it ended up fixing traffic lights on 459. I don't know. Which would be another reason why you would believe that it would be kosher and beneficial to push for things like this, because there are millions and millions of dollars plus federal money that comes in, obviously built, you know, based on your city size and based on what, you know, you obviously get more seats and you get more PSLs and you get more money for this and you get more money for roads and you get, and so I get that. There's a part of me that, you know, Birmingham maybe just doesn't want that. And maybe that's good enough for them. You know, I mean, it used to be kind of fun when Las Vegas is the only place you could place a bet. Now you can do it, you know, 2 hours away. Or hell, you can do it 15 minutes away at the BRCC.
My computer screen.
When I'm talking about sitting down and wanting to play a blackjack game and smoke a cigar,
yeah, sure.
you can't do that here. It's unfortunate. But, you know, maybe a situation where we don't want it. You know, maybe we don't want to deal with, you know, I always try to analogize a beautiful, sexy woman somewhere some guy's tired of putting up with her shit. Maybe it's a situation where we don't want to bring that kind of notoriety or big ownership into a small town like Birmingham because we don't want to have to deal with it. We don't have to deal with the looks. We're happy dealing with the girl who had to put the some college box. You know,
this mentality, Tony, because I think you're hitting on exactly the theme. For whatever reason, that mentality, Atlanta and Birmingham were absolutely comparable going into the 1960s. They were the same size. They had about the same infrastructure, the same population. And the airlines decided we need, because the South is the next big, you know, undiscovered land, we need a major airport to connect the southern United States and Florida. And the decision came down to Birmingham and Atlanta. Atlanta went all out to try to get it. Birmingham went, that would be kind of disruptive. We really don't want that to happen here.
You're right.
So the mentality you're describing goes back 60 years. It's always been kind of this, we really don't want to rock the boat and become a major metropolis. And there's some things, one of the reasons I like living here is because it doesn't take me an hour and a half to go 20 miles.
Yep.
In Atlanta, it's an absolute nightmare. So, you know.
You can't have it both ways, can you? You can't have it both ways.
You can't. And that is such a, important cliche in so many of these things we're looking at. People justify things on one side and again, and then lament the fact that we don't have what's on the other side. But like you said, you can't have it both ways. You make your choices. Birmingham made its choices, and I guess we're doomed to live with that, or blessed to live with that, however you want to look at it, for the rest of time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's one of those things where if you don't like it here and it's not big enough, then you can move somewhere else. And, again, I moved here 30 something years ago and gave it a year. And then I gave it another 2 years. And because the women were so beautiful and I was having a good time making decent money, I thought, well, I'll just stay here for a while. And next thing you know, it's been 40 years. And I remember this guy named Larry Langford, who was talking about bringing the Olympics to Birmingham.
He
wanted to build. Well, listen.
Larry was a big thinker.
Now, Larry Langford, he was a huge thinker. Okay, you're the master of crystal ball times. When was he mayor? How many years ago was that?
Let's see. I would say he was still mayor in the early 2000s. So
20 years ago?
He had
the big beluga whale line. Remember the big beluga whale line? He said, he said one day Birmingham will have a beluga whale. And the beluga whale is this big white looking whale thing that obviously they've got in Atlanta. They got Nashville at the aquariums, which do really well. Chattanooga, by the way, has an aquarium that I've been to like 12 times. I love the Chattanooga Aquarium. It's in stinking Chattanooga, for gosh sakes. Now I get it.
Yeah,
the
Chattanooga.
Town. They got Chattanooga. Yeah, they've got the Rock City. They got all the great things. They got the choo-choo. It's a great tourist town. I get that. But when he said that 20 years ago, we were like, what? There is no way in hell Birmingham would ever have an aquarium here. Well, I'm telling you right now, if we wanted to have an aquarium by 2026, we could figure out, we'll figure it out. So we're moving in the right direction, I think. The McWane Center is a world well-represented type of building that a lot of people talk around in the Southeast. We've got some really cool things here. And with the building of this amphitheater, much like you were protective, I shot down Regent's Field. I was like, and maybe I was one of these old men standing on the front porch, get off my lawn kind of guys, because I'm thinking you got a perfectly beautiful park at the Hoover Met, and it's unbelievably built. They keep it up. It sells out everywhere it goes. The Barons, they love it. Why in the hell are we going downtown and building a brand new ball field when we've got this perfectly? Now, I didn't realize the political infrastructural differences, if you will, between say Hoover and Birmingham. Hoover is Hoover. If you do something in Hoover, it's staying in Hoover. It doesn't cross over any other jurisdictions. If you want to be in Hoover, that's fine, but your money's coming back to Hoover. Everything stays in Hoover. And I mean, I've gone out there with Stadium Trace, and the way they're building things out there, I don't know where the money's coming from. It's unbelievable. Hoover's becoming bigger than Birmingham, and kudos.
It is.
The Steve McClinton's, the world is guys.
If we have a chance for professional sports, it's probably going to be Hoover that gets it done.
It probably would be. It probably would be. But again, I think we've moved. I never would have thought in a million years that Birmingham would look the way it does now 10 years ago.
It's amazing.
I can't believe that they built a stadium for UAB, albeit it's not UAB Stadium, it's the BJCC's, but the UAB uses it. I cannot believe that we have this downtown park that is beautiful. It used to be where homeless people used to walk. It's beautifully lit now. It's really nice. The uptown area is really, really nice. And they're building this thing on that Caraway land that was just a wasteland. It looked like something, Mysteries of the Abandoned. That area of the town is going to be built up with this beautiful. And again, you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, we got Oak Mountain Amphitheater. It's a beautiful amphitheater. It's in a beautiful part of town. Why are we building another amphitheater? You got to go where the money is, and that's where that wants to be set up.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what evolves in the next few years, because Birmingham metro area is kind of moving south. The Montgomery metro area is kind of moving north. So you've almost got a combination of the entire state that's going to merge on I-65 at some point. A lot of people are living way down in Calera and other places like Prattville outside of Montgomery. So you've got arguably a big enough metro area to facilitate some sports. But I will share with you as we kind of wind this down. Birmingham was in the discussion, and this was kind of hush hush at the time, because when the Raiders were going to move from Oakland, things were breaking down in Las Vegas. They lost a couple of initiatives for taxpayer funding of the new stadium and some other things. So they were actually shopping around, and there was a group of movers and shakers, as you call them, in Alabama that were making strong overtures to move the Oakland Raiders to Birmingham back 10 or 12 years ago. And they were definitely a prominent name in that discussion. And Las Vegas kind of got their act together because they were on the verge of losing the Raiders, which has been a massive booming economic engine in the city of Las Vegas, and really given them more credibility than they've ever had before.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and again, you know, I throw the question out, you know, we've never seen an NBA team come down 3-0. Right now it's 3-1. When you're hearing this, maybe it'll be 3-2, maybe it'll be 3-3. It's never happened. And so I was, and this is for a show for another date, I wanted to throw out, you know, what are some records that have never happened that you think will happen in your lifetime? And one of the questions I've asked my son is, do you think we'll ever have a professional sports team here in Birmingham?
Yeah. It does not look good. It's like my doctor says, I've looked at your reports and it does not look good. I will say that for professional sports in Birmingham.
Hey, if they come out with a professional pickleball league, I think they already do. That'd be something that we get a hold of. I'm not sure that we'd want 50,000 people sitting around watching a ping pong table of four people after a pickleball thing. But so anyway. Hey, great stuff, my friend. We'll do it again coming up next week. Make sure you check us out on ABC 3340. You never knew who's going to be stopping by. We always have special guests. We talk a lot of things. We'll be, let's see, 9 weeks from college football. 9 weeks from kickoff of college football.
Fast.
It's going to be here super fast. You can check us out on ABC 3340 from 10:30, 11 o'clock every Saturday morning. It's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be fantastic all summer long. So check us out. You never know who's going to stop by, and we'll see us. And Kip, till next week, I will catch up with you, man. Thank you, my friend.
Tony, a pleasure as always. Everybody have a fantastic week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.